It's good to see all of you tonight. Thank you again, choir. I wanted to just say it publicly. You did such a wonderful job this evening. I know that because of schedule and some things, everybody wasn't able to make it back tonight. But choir, thank you. Thank you for a wonderful performance today. And more than a performance, just an offering to the Lord and your preparation and the singing. It's just a wonderful, wonderful day. And thank you so much for it. I've heard so many good compliments about it. And we're grateful for all of the work that went into it. And as I mentioned, it's good to see each of you. It's good to see Devin and Anna back there with us. The Lowe's are here, and we're thankful they're come over this way, and they're with us for some long time, but moved out west, and we're thankful they're back for maybe the Christmas season a little bit, but thankful for that. We're looking at 1 Samuel tonight, a passage I preached from not a real long time ago, but again, I want to preach about friends. Being a friend, as we see Jonathan and David, that's who I'm named after, these two guys. Jonathan David is my full name, Jonathan David Herdman. And because of these being so good of friends, and I wanted to preach about this because this is a wonderful time of year. If there are people in your life, I really believe that we're getting down close to the end. The big bell is going to ring, the trumpet's going to sound, and I believe one of these days soon we'll have our last opportunity to affect people with the gospel of Christ. And especially if there are friends, people that we care about, may we take this as the marching orders to get the gospel to them. Now, family and sometimes friends are some of the hardest ones to share the gospel with because they know you so well and you know them so well. But we've got to find a way to pray them, pray the Lord would convict them, get the gospel to them. Maybe it's something where we go back and share again with them. But that comes oftentimes from this idea of friendship. And so we're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1 through 4, because there's nothing you do better for a friend than to show them the gospel. Jonathan loves David. Jonathan is one that his soul is knit to David. Of course, David's going to become king. Saul knows it, or he at least knows that there's great things in the life of David. And David, or Saul, is jealous of David. In verse number 1, it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And I want to preach about this for just a little while, about being a friend. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Give us these moments that we might be better friends, dear Lord. And of course, there's no way to show that friendship better than to share the gospel. But Lord, I pray that we would be those ones that are the biblical friends in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. There's so many lessons to learn from friendship from these two, but I want you to see, especially in verse number 4, you see the giving nature of Jonathan. He takes these things that are rightfully his. He's the king's son. They've taken these things that are rightfully his, and he's given them to somebody of a no name. As David told Saul, he said, I'm the least, and I don't deserve all these things, and he was right. But we sometimes in churches will have friend days and we'll have neighbor days and we'll just use that as an opportunity to have a person here that we care about and we know. And it's a wonderful time to do that. But I'd submit to you, if you're going to be a friend, a blessed friend, and the way that you can do that is by sharing the gospel. But here's my second thought, and that is that if you have a friend, you're a blessed individual. And the longer you go, when you got out of school, probably like me, you figured you had lots of friends, but life takes you in different directions, and you don't have as many as you think. And so when God gives you somebody that cares about you and you care about them, you're a blessed individual. When I think about friends, those words bring memories, and I hope they're good ones in your life. I remember a friend named Kenny Kisner. He was when we lived in the northern panhandle of West Virginia when I was the youngest of boy. And he went with us to different things, and he went to us with this circus. Some of the people from our church went to this circus, and they gave everybody a ticket. And so as our family went through, it was my mom, dad, my two brothers, and my sister, and me, and then Kenny, and maybe some other folks in the church. But I was behind my brother, but then Kenny jumped in front of me and got in behind my brother. And so then it was Mark, me, Kenny, and then me. And so everybody got a ticket when they came out, and then they called those tickets out. They had you take them out, rather. And they called them, and Mark won a bicycle, my brother. And then they called the next number here in a little bit, and lo and behold, it was that joker that was in front of me that I should have had that spot, but my friend got that next bicycle. I was mad, but then it served him right because it was a girl's bike. It had the cutaway frame, so I thought, well, that serves you right. You deserve a girl's bike if you're going to take mine. But a man is blessed to have friends. And I want to preach for just a little while about that. Number one, I'd like to give you this. In verse number one, I see that God gives us the gift of friends. It came to pass in verse one, number one, that he made an end of speaking to Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And there's people in my life that I have that I feel like God has done that to me, that he has knit my heart to theirs. And these two were knit together. I don't know if you've ever been around horses when they work them. Dad used to have some work horses, and so he would put them out to task. And if you ever see two horses that work together and they come up and that harness tightens up and it snaps together in that double tree there on both those horses as they pull against that, it's an amazing thing to watch them just get their head down and pull when they're working together. And I think about that as friendships. If you have a friend and you have that in that bond, you have something that's very, very blessed. And I want you to realize tonight that there are many folks that don't have that. And the Bible teaches that if we're going to have friends, we've got to show ourselves friendly. We understand that. But I wanted to bring this thought to you as well, that friendship wasn't just something that came about. Friendship was invented by God, if you want to call it invented. Because you go all the way back to the first of human relationships, and that was Adam and Eve. And before there was an Adam and Eve, there was just an Adam, and Adam was there. And, you know, it's like this family that they asked. The boy came to his dad and said, "Dad, boy, it's really you and Mom, you sometimes get at each other." They were known to fight and things. And he said, "But really, Mom does a lot." He said, "We really are blessed by having Mom." He said, "Yeah, I know what you mean." And he said, "Dad, where would we be without Mom? Where would we be without ladies?" He said, "We'd be back in the garden, son. That's where we'd be." And then you know that... Adam, I heard one time that Adam and Eve, and Eve was jealous because thought, "Boy, oh boy, oh boy." She said, "Do you really love me?" And Adam said this wonderful thought, "Who else?" "Who else? There is nobody else. You're all I got." And but I think about this. God invented that because he said it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make him and help meet for him. And so we understand that it's not just the fact that, yes, there's the physical aspect, there's the social aspect, there's all this, but there's the friend aspect that God gives most of us, as it's his will that we get married. Some not, but it's his will that many do. And God gives the gift of friends. And here we see in Jonathan and Saul. But not only that, I want you to look over, if you will, just a couple of chapters in chapter 20, verse number 14. I see that friends are those that keep their word. They ought to be. John or 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse number 14. The Bible says here that Jonathan is supposed to, if you look in the first part of the chapter, you'd see that Jonathan's supposed to bring David to be killed. His father is jealous, of course. But look at verse number 14 of 1 Samuel 20. "And thou shalt not only while yet I live show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth." Verse number 16, "So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies." And so we understand that not only does God give us the gift of these friends, but friends keep these words to each other. This story finds David promising to show kindness to Jonathan, and not only to Jonathan, but all of his descendants. And if you know your Bible, you know that that plays out, that he found that Jonathan was dead and Saul was dead, and he went to great lengths to find out who was left of the family, and he wanted to be there. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 3, he asks, "Is any there yet of the house of Saul?" And it's a beautiful thing what David does for his friend. A Christian friend, I should say, keeps his word. You understand that in our today's culture that we live, it's really common just to do what works best for you. If it doesn't benefit me, why would I do it? You know what the scripture says about that? The scripture says it's better for us to swear to our own hurt, meaning that we're supposed to, if we say we'll do something, even it comes back and hurts us in the end, we ought to follow through with that. I've told you before, but I've seen my dad buy things that he committed to do that, but then when he got there, a farmer would say, "Dave, you don't have to pay that because cows aren't going for that now." But he'd say, "Nope, I told you 3 weeks ago or 2 months ago or whatever, I'd buy them, and here I am." and for to the length that Dad has bought some cows before that had, by the time he got there, they were dead, one or two, but he had already committed to buy the whole group of them, and they were his. And so I'm saying that a Christian friend does keeps to their word and keeps what they're supposed to be doing. So I just think about this in this time of wonderful celebration of Christmas that you have been blessed to get to enjoy. You ought to thank God. If God allows you to spend it with family and or friends, you ought to be grateful for the Christian friends that you have. And it's a gift of God. Not only that, but they keep their word. I want you to look back, if you would, at chapter number 18. And I want you to see a good trait of a friend. Verse number 12. The Bible says in verse number, chapter 18, verse number 12, and Saul was, let me see here. It'd be great if the pastor would find the right verse. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. I guess that is the right one. It fits anyways. Sometimes I'm afraid that I get the wrong ones in my notes. But here's what I'm drawing from. You know, if you've got a little study Bible, you'll see it breaks it at verse number 10. And this is when Saul is trying. He's no friend of David, that's for sure. He tries to slay David by throwing a javelin at him. But in verse number 12, we see that Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. And I just want to draw this out as we think about it. The thing that drew Jonathan to David was the thing that in a twisted, roundabout way repelled him from Saul. Because what drew Jonathan to David was, here's a man, I believe he knew what the Bible says about him. He was a man after God's own heart, and he knew the intent of David's heart. But that was a great conviction to Saul because Saul was a wicked fellow. And so we understand that not only does a friend keep his word, and it's from God, but also a good friend encourages others to seek the Lord. We see back in that verse 1 where we started, Jonathan's soul was knit to David. And it's right after that that Saul, he asks what the details of that fight with Goliath, what happened with all of this and what happened with all of these things. And we see that that aspect of David's life, he's trying to follow God, is what just makes Jonathan want to be drawn to him. But isn't it a strange thing in your life? And you've watched it as well. You try to live your life right, and that's a great burr under the saddle of some people. The fact that you go to church and you'll go see your family, maybe you did it at Thanksgiving, maybe you will at Christmas. It seems like some family members always want to say something disparaging about the fact, well, you're one of those church people. But then when you're around somebody also that loves the Lord, they say, how is church going? Isn't it amazing how the same event draws two different reactions? And that's what we see in the life of Jonathan and the life of his dad. And a good friend it is that he is drawn to those things that the Lord's doing in his life. My good friend in high school, he was unsaved, but he got saved at a little Methodist church out past his house, and I used to go some with him there, and he was trying to seek the Lord. And there weren't too many of them in the public school that I went to, and so it was a blessing, and as the Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. And as I draw this to a close tonight, I want you to think about this. What kind of friend am I? I would say that a faithful friend is what we ought to be. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I would say that David was very faithful all the way past the end of Jonathan's life. Am I that friend? Am I that friend that sticks in there when somebody gets a tough time? And I ask, are you that encouraging friend that wants to do more, go higher, do better, do more? We find out an awful lot about friends, but I would be remiss if I didn't share with you, of course, what the Scripture says. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You say, Pastor, I don't really know if I'm a great friend to people, and I don't know that I've had a great example. I don't know if I could be a good friend. I can tell you who to model your life after.
That's right. Amen.
You want to be a good friend to your friends, you be like the lovely Lord Jesus. Let me tell you about that friend. When you can't even describe what emotions are going on in your body, the Savior already knows. And can I impress this upon you? We all try to clean up. I put a suit on, a tie, and got everything, tried to get ready. And we try to straighten things up. You might not wear a suit, and it's immaterial to me, but you at least smelled the shirts to get a clean one that smelled pretty clean before you came to church. And you came, and you want everybody to think well of you. But you understand that the Lord already knows who you are. And He knew you and loved you anyways. Isn't it amazing? We don't want some of our friends to know the truth about us. But the Lord already knows it. And He loved us anyways. That's amazing to me. I'm glad I don't know half the stuff about you, and I'm glad you don't know half the stuff about me. There's a whole lot under the blood in all of our lives, and I thank God for it. But what I'm getting at is this, that friend that already knew everything about you still came in Bethlehem's manger, knowing that not only would those people in that day and age mock, ridicule, and eventually crucify Him, but He knew that it would continue on till our day, and then however long this world goes on, that people would still mock, ridicule, and make fun. And then those believers that did put their faith in Him, He knew how low down we would be and how undependable that we were even after we got saved. What a friend we have in Jesus. And I think about this. If you don't know that friend called Jesus, you need to, my friend, you need to come to a place where you put your faith in Him. Do you feel empty and alone even when there's a crowd around? Do you wish life had meaning? Do you wish that you really knew how to have a happy holiday or how you knew how to have a Merry Christmas? Let me tell you about my friend called Jesus. Jesus is the Savior that not only come for the sins of the world, but individually came to save you. As they used to tell me when I was a kid, and you've heard it as well, if you were the only one that lived on this earth, then I believe the Lord would have still come. And my friend, maybe it's here tonight that you're going to have to realize that it's time to quit playing church. Quit trying to be a Christian in name. Quit trying to be somebody who just knows the rhetoric and knows the verbiage. And today, tonight, it's time that you accept that friend into your life and into your heart for the forgiveness of sin. The hymn writer said it right. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. So I've taken you from 1 Samuel, where Jonathan and David were knit together by God in a friendship. And we've taken you all the way to the New Testament, where there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, speaking of Jesus. So my friend, tonight it's twofold. If you're a Christian in this room tonight, I'd like for you to commit to the Lord that I'm going to ramp up and I'm going to be the friend that my friend needs me to be. Are you that friend? You know, why would you say that, Pastor? Because we all get selfish. We all start thinking about what's in it for me, mine, ours, what's there for me. But a friend thinks, what can I do for others? I told you the way to have the model friend is, or the way to see the great model friend is Jesus. And how did Jesus do? He died for the sins of the world. Nobody loved Him at that point. He gives us the great example to be there for other people, even when they don't appreciate it. So first of all, it's this. If you're a Christian tonight, wouldn't you commit to be the friend that your friend needs you to be? And if tonight you're not a Christian, you don't know Christ as your Savior, oh, you know about Him, you know the stories, but you've never received Christ as your personal Savior, then tonight is the night to do it. You say, Pastor, it's Sunday night. It's cold, it's rainy, there ain't nobody here but us. We're all saved. I don't know if that's true or not, But I would know that I would hate to go through life as a member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and not have it settled that I know Christ is my Savior. If you need Him as your Savior tonight, would you take Him? If you're here and you're saved, are you the friend that your friend needs, or do we find ourselves being too selfish? I pray that God would work on our hearts. Let's pray together. Father, I ask You to help us be a better friend as we learn from one of my favorite stories in Jonathan and David, those two that put themselves out to be a friend to their friend. And then, dear Lord, as that's a great picture of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our friend, Lord, I pray that You'd move on our lives and whatever You need to do in our world or in our life, in our soul, I pray that we would let You work in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies begin to play? If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe God's, you're here to, somebody's, we're having a baptism here. If you slip on to the front, another's going to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Would you come on down? Maybe there's some other need in your heart that you'd like to do business with the Lord. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Come and let the Lord have His way in your life, in your heart. As they just play through, if the Lord's moving upon your heart, are you the friend that you're supposed to be? Maybe it's you as a husband. Are you even the friend that you're supposed to be to your wife? Sacrificing, giving, helping, loving. Well, if you would look this way for just a moment, we're going to do things just a little different. I'm going to go get ready for baptism, and we're excited, though, and looking forward to. Let me have that card, Brother Daniel. So good to have the Babcocks with us tonight, and Brother Mike Babcock and Grace. I met with them the other day. Love the Lord, saved, baptized, and the Lord has led them to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and we're so thankful for that. And maybe you haven't got to meet them yet. They usually sit about four pews in front of the usher's office back there, and we're so glad to have them. But God has led them here, and they'd like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. So if we'd have a motion to receive them into membership. All right. Brother Larry Stover makes that motion. Brother Shannon Barker seconds it. All in favor, say aye. All opposed, same sign. Amen. Motion carries. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. And after the baptism, I'd like for you to slip by and get to meet them. And Brother Daniel, you get a picture of them. And we'll just help with the app. And if you're not on the Church Life app, that's just a reminder. That helps get on there. It helps figure some people out. But Brother Dan's going to come and lead us. And what a friend we have in Jesus. And we'll baptize here in just a moment.
260 in your hymn book. 260. We'll sing down that first verse. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. We do not care.
this is Victoria. She has trusted Christ as Savior some time ago. She's been a Christian for a good while. But she wanted to come and rededicate her life, and she wanted to follow Christ in baptism and just set her sights and sails, rather, to live for the Lord and serve Him with her life. And what a blessing it is. And she also wants to join the church. And so we'll make a motion for that in just a moment. But Victoria, in obedience to the command of Jesus Christ our Lord, and upon your profession of faith, and as you set out to live for Him, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Buried in baptism. Raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. I went down a little low on that one, but seems like it. But worst things could happen, I guess. So, but we do want to receive Victoria into the church membership. She desires to follow, or not only follow Christ in baptism and rededicate her life to Him, but she also like to join Buffalo Ridge. Brother Marty makes that motion. He's excited about that. I know he's helping me out. And Brother Scott Martin seconds that motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Amen. All opposed, same sign. Okay. God bless. Well, Brother Dan, Brother Daniel, we need anything else? Thank you again, choir. How many of you are in the, who's the choir members? Would you raise your hand? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I've heard so many wonderful compliments about today's performance, and I hate to say performance because it's not the performance, but just the service for the Lord. And so thank you for doing that. It blessed our souls, and I love our choir, and I thank you for your labor for the Lord. And then 2 weeks from now, we'll do our Christmas Eve service and services in the morning, then a Christmas Eve candlelight. And so be inviting somebody for that. This is I know I've told you several times, the most wonderful time to get people in church. And it's just let's not let it pass us by. Take some of those invite cards and use them this week to say, hey, would you come be with us? So, all right, Brother Kyle is our good missionary here tonight. He's going to be back at his table, back in the lobby. Hope you'll get by and see him and be a blessing to him. Maybe take a prayer card and let him know that you'll be praying for him. And I think that's it. Let's all stand together. Thank you so much. God bless you. Come by, meet the Babcocks if you don't mind, and greet them into the church. You're dismissed. Thank you.